What's going on, Freeform Renegades? This is the Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. Also, send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. 1893 Coalition is a group we're a part of that also includes Intellectual Nonsense and the Enthusiast Project. It is a beautiful day today. The wind is blowing on this windy city. You have myself, Noel, and my other host,
Daniel, over here to his left.
And to my right.
And we're still on this right-left shit. I'm Andy, and I don't know my sides, right or left, so.
No.
But I'm here.
Izquierda, derecha, you know that?
No, I don't know that.
Even that one, you don't
know? I don't know, because this is radio, and then there's a right-left for TV.
Showbiz,
yeah.
So is it different?
It is different, so I don't know how it works for radio.
I don't know.
Or podcasting.
We're going to have to put up a little sign in the room here so we can know left and right.
Like radio left.
I still remember that from grade school by the projector. There was a left and right sign, and then right below it was in Spanish, izquierda y derecha, so that you could learn your left and right when you were in grade school.
Yeah, I know my right and left, but
that was like in the city,
showbiz,
right?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I took some bilingual classes for Spanish and English at the same time.
Now you wonder why Trump's going to build that wall.
Yeah, I know, man. Right. Dummies like me.
Nah, it's good to be back again, guys. It's an early morning. We're all a little bit tired from a long day yesterday. Each of us had a little bit things going on, so let's get into it. What did you guys do yesterday?
Yeah, Andy, man, you made mention you went to TGI Fridays for some endless apps, man. Is that what's bogging you down today, man?
It sounded like a great idea in my head and with my girl, but afterwards it was a disaster. It's like, oh man, endless apps. So we get there, we were all day, so we worked up a good appetite. Now I'm just like, man, I want something cheap, and like I wanted booze and like wings. That's what I had a taste for.
The staple of a great meal.
Yeah, the foundation of American nutrition.
Sure,
yeah,
the Chicago meal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're driving by. We're by Gurney, and there was a TGI Fridays. I'm like, all right, told my girl, let's hit it up. And she's like, yeah, that works. And then so we're like, we get.
By the way, TGI's, I haven't seen one close by in a long time.
There's not many. Chicago,
yeah, there's not many. Applebee's is another one that there's not a lot of anymore.
I mean, I've never been to TGI Friday. Oh, correction. That would be my second time going there. But before that, it's been a long time. And I think you and Stunner were talking about they had endless apps. Right? Appetizers. So it intrigued me. We got there. They had beer specials, which were pretty good. They had pints of Miller for like $3. And then the endless, they have like five selections of endless apps. And we got boneless wings and mozzarella sticks. So the first run was like a big tray of food. I'm like, man, this is pretty sweet, right? And then they bring you, I get my beer, we're drinking, we're having a good time, we're talking. And then they bring another one. And the guy's like, what do you want? And then they bring more. And then like, what do you want? And then like, we're like on our third one.
For both of you? So
yeah,
six total platters?
I was like, yeah, this is like, I'm freaking stuffed. I'm like on my third beer.
What'd they bring you, like?
It was boneless wings, mozzarella sticks. The second round was potato skins.
Nice.
And then some flatbread thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then the third one was pot stickers.
Yeah, those
and
are good.
Those were good, but that kind of did me in another round of boneless wings. And then I'm like, I can't eat no more. I'm like going to explode. I got a good buzz going. She's like, well, I'm going to order Memphis-style boneless wings. I don't know, some barbecue sauce thing and more pot stickers. And I'm like, they brought that over. And by then, I was like, that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you want more after this? Like, no. Bring the fucking check. And then, man, we went afterwards. Like, she's like, we got to go for a walk. Like, we ate a lot. Like, we had a lot of crap. So we walked around. And then I got home, dude, and it was just like my stomach was messed up. I don't know if it was the combination of buffalo sauce and beer or pot stickers or whatever. That pot sticker shit messed me up, man. I'm not going to lie. I think that's what did me in. By then, I was just like, man, this is good, but it tasted like different. Like it had that Asian, whatever it is. I don't know if it's Chinese or Japanese, whatever. It did me in, and I had like another couple boneless wings. I'm like, I'm done. And I got home, dude. My stomach was like a total mess. It was a disaster, dude. And I'm like, I'm not going back there for a while. I mean, it was a good idea in my head, but I mean, it was all right. The food was all right. I think I overdid it. Too much beer and too much not real food, as I call it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of, it's got to be super processed. They got to have like barrels of it in the back somewhere. And I've eaten there for endless apps as well, but I've had a good time. It's pretty good.
Yeah, like I walked through, I was going to the bathroom back there, and you walked through the kitchen, and I looked into the kitchen. Holy shit, they had like a
rack full of chicken wings,
rack full of those boneless wings, and a rack of those pot stickers, and like potato skins and mozzarella. Like they couldn't carry them out fast enough. And I'm just like, damn, this shit's popular. And then, we started people watching, which I love to do. There was like this bald guy with an Asian woman, and I'm like, this guy, man, is he on a date? First date? I don't know. I think it was a first date because he got like the tallest beer you could order, and the girl was on her phone the whole time. And I'm like, man, this bald guy ain't gonna get laid.
Yeah, you gotta pay attention
and
to
then,
that lady.
And then me and my girl were analyzing basically the whole time we were there.
Oh, these guys were just hating.
And I'm just like, man, that guy ain't gonna get laid. And then he, like, I think after his second beer, kind of loosened up. We started putting the moves. But I did see the girl. They ordered the endless amps, and then she got a steak. Like, oh, that means he's gonna get laid. And I'm like, that's dating 101. Like, all that's left is the lobster, and then tail. Anything goes, all right?
Yep.
But then you get steak, that's pretty much something's going to happen.
You sign
that, that seals the deal?
Yeah. Yeah. No, something's going to go down. It's something sexual. Now, however he plays it from there is on him, but something's going to go down. And so the girl, then he went to the bathroom, and then she, like, got on her phone, and I don't know if she was Snapchatting, she was taking pictures, or she was texting. I'm like, man, maybe she's talking to like her husband, boyfriend. These are older people. And I was just like, man, like maybe she's cheating on her husband with this bald guy. But I'm like, why would she go out with that bald guy? It was just like weird. I was kind of pretty, having a really good time.
What's wrong with bald people, man?
I don't know, man. Well, he was an old bald guy, and his woman was like this. Like a woman I wouldn't suspect that go out with bald guys, because she was like an Asian woman.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, man, maybe he got money. I don't know.
So, like, he didn't look like,
attractive. Nah, dude, he went, like, a t-shirt, like, gym shorts, and, like, New Balance shoes. And
was that, like, a Ed Hardy shirt, man?
Nah. And he was, like, kind of, he was a big guy. His woman was kind of big, too, but I'm just like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I have a feeling like that was a first date. And then this older lady came in later. She ordered a glass of wine. Like, she was older, like, I want to say, like, late 50s. And I'm like, man, is she looking to get, like, have a good time with someone? And she was just there. Like, granted, now, these are older people. She wasn't on her phone. So, okay, magically, she's either looking to get picked up or she's waiting on someone, right? And she was waiting. And this guy walks in with a hood. His hood's down. And he sat down. And this guy was like a charming effort motherfucker, man. He was talking to the ladies and all this. And she picked up and went over to him, and he pulled down his hoodie. He had this long, I called him like a silver fox, white hair, beard. Like, man, this guy's like a musician. Yeah, dude. And then I'm just like, and she got up to him like, man, I think that guy's going to get laid. I go, I should have gone out of the bug. I see what he's doing. That's what you need to do. And then she was
like, fucking hair. And
yeah,
shit.
Dude. You see that long hair, man? Go do an Urlacher. You get see his billboards it. All over the place. He got hair now. Tell him to go hook you up. Now? Yeah. You ever seen the billboards?
Nah.
You seen them, right, Dan?
Yeah, I've seen some pictures.
Like, man, Urlacher was a man, but him rocking hair is fucking weird.
Yeah.
It is the weirdest thing, and he's
That's
out there.
That's because he's on TV now. He's an analyst.
He looks completely different, right?
Yeah, for NFL. Yeah, he does look different, but I got used to it already. I've seen him a few times with hair, and he just looks a little different.
I always go to my girl, you see that guy up there? He used to be bald. Look at him now. Really? Who is he? I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it then. But I'm like, I tell Hilda, sister, what do you think of his hair? Like, I don't know. It looks kind of cute. I'm like, man, Urlacher's weak. Should have just kept that bald head. But
well, was he bald by choice?
Yeah, he went bald early. That's why he always shaved his head.
So then when he grows it out, like, it grows out.
No, he had some transplant done.
Ah, okay.
That's why he's on billboards, like, I got hair now. I'm a Hall of Famer. Ask me how or something. It's just, like, all over the expressway. It's weird.
That is weird.
Oh, yeah. So, man, you're recovering from your stomach thing. What else did you got for the week, man?
That's pretty much it. I mean, that stomach thing did me in, and watch a little bit that CM Punk on Fox Sports Net.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I heard about that. How was that?
I'm kind of worried for him, man.
No, yeah, as you should be, man. I don't think he's going to do too well.
He's training. Obviously, he's dedicated. He's serious about it. It's not some joke. He's dedicated, and he's ready to throw down, and you know, we'll see. They showed a sparring session in there, and he was up against a wrestler. And I think he did not do too good 2 months into his training. So we'll see, man. I have a feeling he might be one and done in UFC after what I saw, after this one episode. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if he goes up against a wrestler, I think he's done. Because he got tapped out in all his sparring things that I saw.
Yeah, or maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe UFC's trying to spin it like he's a nobody, he's not good, and make him the underdog against this other guy in the UFC and hopefully build on it. You never know. The UFC's pretty smart. They, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't release this documentary with the know-how that, you know, it's going to make CM Punk look weak. Maybe they're doing it intentionally to kind of, like, he's the underdog battling up. He's the Rocky. He's battling, you know, just some guy in the gym working his way up kind of thing.
I know, man. You know, he drives up to Milwaukee. He trains up there with a group. I forgot the name. They look like they're pushing him. But what I saw, I'm not no freaking fighter, but I seen people train. And you know when people are good fighters, and he doesn't have the instinct, but he's learning. So to get him up to, like, UFC level, man, that I don't think he could do that. Like, whenever his fight is, I think it's next month, right? So it's been maybe a year, almost a year and a half since he's really, what I saw in this documentary, he's been training.
Yeah, he's training at Rufus Sports,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Rufus. I remember not. Yeah, up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's with Anthony Pettis and his brother.
Yeah, Pettis, they kept showing him there, and he was pushing him, and I was just like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look very, like, it's going to be very easy for him, and he made a mistake in my mind. If I was him, I wouldn't have signed on a dotted line until I knew I was ready, because now there's all this pressure, you got to perform. It's not going to be an easy thing for him.
He made a comment on that show. He's like, I don't want to be in survivor mode in my fight. I want to be like, I know I'm going to win. So, I mean, that shows you his mentality. Like, I just want to go in there and hang with these guys. He's not going in there to, he's like, I know I'm going in there not to knock them out. I just want to survive. I'm like, eesh. Like, that kind of shows you what he's thinking. Like, you're not going in there to win. You just want to hang. I know, granted, it's 2 months into his training. That comment just caught me like, okay, there's a little insight of what he's thinking.
It's Rocky, man. You don't remember Rocky 1? He said, he's like, yeah, I know I can't beat Apollo, but if I can go 12 rounds, then I did it. And that's why at the end of the movie, when Rocky goes his 12, he goes, Adrian, I did it. I did it. Yeah, I went my 12 rounds, because that was his goal. His goal was to survive with Apollo, not necessarily beat him, but just to survive and hang with him. So, man, I'm telling you, man, now it's clicking to me, man. They're building that Cinderella story, that Rocky story. He's working his way up, you know, he's the underdog, and he's going to be the champ one day, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, they show him, like, he's happily married, and then in this training, like, you could see sometimes in his face, he's, like, fucking startled. And when he kept pushing for the sparring, and when he, after that fight with that wrestler, he's like, I don't want to be in survivor mode the whole time. And I'm just like, damn, like, he has a lot of work to do. I'm not saying he can't. He says, I might not have the ability, but with training, I'm going to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he does well. He's a Chicago native, so you got
to
get his back. But it's going to be hard, man. The guy he's fighting, I believe his name is Mickey Gall. And this guy is no joke. I mean, he's not the greatest, right? Like, he's not the all-time best, but he's not going to be an easy payday, guaranteed. So,
no, for sure, man. No, it's going to be a good fight, man, good fight. The other thing you mentioned, Andy, when you were walking in is, man, it's been 15 years in the making, but You went to the doctor a couple days ago, man. How'd that turn out, man? You're walking straight again, or you're still walking kind of crooked? Or
nah, man. The doctor said they don't do that.
They don't do that anymore?
Do it digitally, man. So he eased my mind. But I didn't need to do that. He might say I'm still young and I still got it.
All right.
So, yeah, I've been on this health kick this year. I went to the doctor just to get a physical. Nothing's wrong, what he told me so far. But, just went and got a physical. He gave me a tetanus shot, did some blood work. But
Tetanus shot, what's that for?
He said you guys are supposed to get one every 10 years. He's like, when's the last time you get a tetanus shot? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't been a doctor in 15 years, and I know last time I didn't get no shots. She's like, yeah, I think you need one. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, there you go, milk that insurance. And then...
How's the tetanus shot area feel? I heard that it gets really hard and puffy.
Right here, it's on my right shoulder.
You don't feel any soreness?
They gave me all this stuff, and it's uncomfortable, but it's not stiff or hard or...
I haven't got one in forever, man.
It says every 10 years. Every 10 years, you got to get it when you're pregnant. He mentioned they give it to every time when women are pregnant, they give them one. But other than that, he checked me out. And then he was a young doctor. I like him. Got a full physical. My extremities work. He beat the shit out of them and they moved. Checked my balls. He said he's the biggest pair he's seen in a while.
Yeah.
And then...
elephantitis.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's weird when a grown man tells you, yeah, drop your pants. I got to check your balls. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that, even though he's a doctor.
Would it be easier if a woman said it?
That's why I was like, man, I should have told my girl to give me a woman doctor. But I don't know. It's even weirder.
What area is the doctor's office in?
It's in Elmhurst. The Elmhurst Network. It's in Addison. It's off a lake. He's a young guy. He was bitching about Netflix pricing or something to the nurses. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he's not rich.
Maybe starting practice if he's still young.
No, he was an old guy. He was a cool guy. He's just like, every time, why are you here? What hurts? Like, nothing. My girl's bitching to get a physical. I pay insurance. Okay. Yeah, that's why I'm in business. He goes, you know where I am. If anything, we'll give you your results. But my blood pressure was good. He said my heart rate sounded good. Like everything. He asked me if I smoke, if I'm drinking, having a good time, I have a cigarette. He's like, you're 38, not 22. You know better. I'm like, yeah. He gave me shit about that. He said I could stand and lose more weight. And that's pretty much about it.
Oh, cool, man. Oh, well, hopefully all the results come back cool, man, especially since it's been like 15 years, like you said. But
I'll be all right. It's I need it. It's someone pushed me, and that's when you get older, there's shit that you got to do.
Nah, for sure. I know I try to go for regular visits at least twice a year. I go every like 6 months for a doctor's appointment. But then again, I'm diabetic, so I gotta keep up on stuff like that.
Did he tell you anything about that big gulp every morning?
Nah. Well, that's why they're going to find out with the blood test. I did get a blood test through work maybe about less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not diabetic. Everything came out good. They did tell me my blood pressure was like right on the border hypertension or whatever. Not full high blood pressure, but he checked. He's like, yeah, you're right where we want you to be. Now, if it was over like 4 or 5 points, you know, then, yeah, we got to do something. But, you know, next time, if anything, you know, we'll get the blood test and we'll see the blood work and we'll see how it goes. And they gave me an HIV test, which is weird.
Well, they probably just threw it in there.
It's part of Obamacare, he said.
Another extra couple drops of blood.
Yeah, he's like, here you go, man. Here, you want an HIV test? I'm like, okay. It's like, he's like, Obamacare. It's part of Obamacare. I'm just telling you. Get the full works. Why the hell not?
Yeah, yeah. Give you that prescribed cream. Clear up that problem you're having in Arizona.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, they all that's covered. Preventative maintenance is covered under Obamacare, except the tetanus shot.
Nah, cool, man. Hopefully everything comes back well.
Yeah.
As for you, Noel, man, you're keeping up your health too, man. You said you were doing some juicing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been keeping it going. Like I said before, I started it up maybe almost a month ago now. I've been keeping it going just... It's gotten easier as you keep it going. Like it was hard in the beginning, and it always is when I started. But you know, I'm adding more things for flavor now. So I made a juice yesterday. I was watching the fights, drinking and shit. And when I drink, not a big beer guy, you know, like I'll drink beer depending on what it is, like Coors Light or whatever from a keg, something like that. But when I'm watching like the UFC, I'll drink some vodka. And I didn't want to really use like pop or anything, so I made my juice, you know, pineapple, mango or mango, whatever, carrots, celery, and forgot what else I put in there. Oh, lettuce.
With vodka?
Yeah, with vodka, all that. And I feel clean, man. I'm here today, aren't I? So.
Oh, yeah. I was actually kind of surprised.
You should make your own vodka. I mean, what do they just squeeze potatoes or something? All right, you let.
They can make it with different things, but potato is one of the more common ones. Yeah.
Hey, go on, man. Let's get into the vodka business.
Triple distilled or what?
Yeah.
Ah, cool. So the vodka kicked it up a little bit, man. Still kept a good taste with all the fruits you had in there?
Yeah. It was shocking that it was actually really, really good to taste. Obviously, without vodka, it's still really good. But the vodka gave it that little buzz, so I was feeling real nice yesterday.
Ah, sweet. You made mention you were watching the fights with it. What were you watching?
UFC 202, man. It was
shit.
Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor was the pay-per-view, and it was very exciting, dude.
Cool, man. I just got a glimpse of it on Facebook this morning, but tell us the deets, man. What happened?
All right, so the fight got big hype this whole week. They were leading up the press conferences and all that, and Nate Diaz and McGregor have fought before, and the first time McGregor had the first round, but the second round he had the majority of it until the end, and Nate Diaz clipped him with a good couple punches, took him to the ground, got him in a submission, and he won the first fight. So the second fight, they're kind of hyping it up. There's like all this bad blood and shit like that, and McGregor's team and Nate Diaz's team, they hate each other, or at least that's what the impression they're giving to the audience and the people.
Yeah.
And when they had the press conference, Nate Diaz showed up on time, right? McGregor was supposed to show up on time, but he came half an hour later. It kind of seemed scripted, but they pulled it off in a way, and Nate Diaz kind of he kind of went away. He's like, fuck this, I'm out. And then he's started talking shit as he's walking away. And Conor's like, shut the fuck up. He's like, get out of here. He's like talking trash back. And then Nate Diaz just throws a water bottle at him. And from there, shit just kind of erupted. Conor got pissed off. He started throwing water bottles back, some monster cans. He could find everything he could grab. He just started throwing it. And it was crazy. Dana White's like, Conor, stop. And they ended up ending the press conference right after that, which it was pretty interesting. They ended up fining, I guess, Nate Diaz and Conor, and they banned both their teams from being present at the event.
Man, it sounds more and more like wrestling.
Yeah, I know, man.
They were saying that. They're saying that they're stealing that from WWE.
They're going to get, like, Stone Cold enforced outside the ring for the
for the lumberjacks.
Yeah, I know. Now, real quick, McGregor talking crap to the wrestlers, and then I think this, I mean, it's good hype promotional stuff to get people to order the fight. And then the bad blood, I saw some of that. I didn't know that he was late because I remember saw another video, Nate Diaz walking in and he was like, fuck you, you Irish motherfuckers, and fuck you. And then water started being thrown and they escorted him out. And yeah, it was just like there was a lot of freaking hype. And I don't know how much of it's true or not. But it's starting, UFC's starting to be more and more like WWE or more like wrestling with the promotion.
Well, after the fight, it was kind of evident to me that it was probably all hype. All right, so I'll just, I don't know if I should spoil what happened. So my prediction before the fight began, because I was kind of worried. I'm like, I want Nate Diaz to win, but the last fight he didn't have a large camp, and that's when he performs best, because when he doesn't have a large camp. This one he had a full camp, so there's more pressure on him, right?
And by camp, you mean a scheduled time to train?
Right, yeah. Okay. So usually you have maybe, well, it depends. Everybody's different, but I guess like around a month to train, sometimes more, and maybe like 3 weeks. But McGregor had a full camp. Nate Diaz only had like 2 weeks, right? So it was not really enough notice. This one, he had a full camp. He was ready to go. And I was hoping that it was just going to go the distance. And if somebody won, it'd probably be McGregor for this one. And it would lead to a trilogy, which would be even better. Because that would be a lot more money. And it would also hype up McGregor for Aldo's rematch.
After that, that's all they kept talking about. I saw some of the post-fight stuff. With the trilogy, you want me next on my terms? And like they're just already hyping up the third fight.
Yep. They were saying that they want to do it at 155. So, long story short, McGregor did win. But it wasn't a landslide victory. You know, it went five rounds. He did knock down Diaz about two times. And Diaz at the end did get a takedown. He did, you know, he got a lot of shots landed in too, but the thing with Diaz is that his style is more about volume versus power punching. And with his volume, he'll mix in some power punching, right? Some power punches and power strikes that catch you off guard. Because he's throwing so many just jabs at you that you're thinking the next one's going to be a jab when boom, you know, he hits you with the hard one. And that's how we got McGregor the last fight. But unfortunately, this one, he really didn't look the best, man. He got bloodied up, but he stood five rounds. He has a chin like fucking no other, dude. Man of Steel with a chin.
Do you think Diaz can fight at 155, or is that too light for him?
Diaz is normally 155.
Really?
Almost every fight he's had is a 155.
He looks, the last two fights, I mean, I haven't seen him in a long time. He's bulky. He's not like 155. To me, that don't even look natural for him.
He walks around at almost 200, yeah. or at 200.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 6 feet tall, dude. So it's crazy that he drops down to that much. But McGregor didn't even like get up to 170. He was at 168 at weigh-ins. At the fight, he probably was 170. But Nate Diaz probably gained back 20 pounds. So he's probably fighting at 190, one or 200 at that time. But you could tell Conor got tired. He got gassed like in the third round. And that's when Nate Diaz kind of came back and he started throwing in some offense. And it was close at certain times, man. Like you could tell he had him on the cage. I wasn't going to say the ropes, but it's a cage. And McGregor, with props to him, he stepped up his game with his takedown defense. So Nate Diaz wasn't really able to take him down until the fifth round at the end in the last like 30 seconds, which you really can't do much there. You're scoring points, but you're not going to really be doing damage. So, you know, decision went to McGregor. But at least it was a decision. I was happy with that. We're going to see a trilogy. McGregor came out with $3 million announced purse. So that's just announced. You know, it's not necessarily the final number. He'll probably be making more than that, I think.
Yeah, he probably gets a piece of the pay-per-view.
Wow, so, man. Well, any noteworthy undercard fights?
Not undercard. Well, there's some good fights, right? Like, but the next fight I want to tell you about is Anthony Johnson versus Glover Teixeira.
Anthony Johnson, that's the guy that looks kind of like Jackson. I saw some pictures of him, and he looks, you know, kind of like him. At first, when I saw the still picture of him, I'm like, damn, is that, I forget his name now, but he was on the A-team.
Yeah. Rampage
Jackson. He kind of looked like him. I'm like, oh, man, is that Rampage? Is he fighting? Did he fight in the undercard? And then I saw his name, Anthony something, and I was just like, oh, okay, it must be a new fighter.
Yeah, this guy, he's been around for a little bit, but he came back recently, well, maybe about a couple years ago now. But he ended up being cut from the UFC at one point because he wasn't really able to make weight and he wasn't performing well. Because this guy, he walks around at like maybe like 220, right? So he walks around almost heavyweight, and he dropped down eventually to 170 at one point. And it was ridiculous weight cut, right? So now he's fighting smart. He fights at light heavyweight. So he drops down to 205, gains back maybe about 15, 20 pounds at the time of fight light. And this guy is a freaking beast, man. This guy is like what Debo was in Friday. So he's fucking scary as a motherfucker, man. Nobody would ever, like, in their right mind, challenge this guy except one man, Glover Teixeira, the guy he fought yesterday. And he got knocked out in 13 seconds.
Holy shit. Yeah, that was a quick one. Yeah, sometimes the big guys, those are guys that go down the hardest and the fastest.
And just to give you a little like backstory on Glover Teixeira, Glover Teixeira is the guy that we saw the fights at Fox and Hound.
Yeah, Fox and Hound.
And that was about a year or two ago, and we saw it fighting John Jones for the title. He went five rounds, and he had a chin like fucking steel. John Jones was not able to knock him out for a whole five rounds. He took a beating, yes, but he didn't get knocked out. Anthony Johnson knocked him out in 13 seconds.
Wow.
One uppercut, and that's all she wrote.
Holy shit. Nah, cool, man. Nah, it's good to hear, man. It looks like the fight was somewhat successful. Maybe not as much as 200, but still, sounds like some good fights.
Yeah, man. It was good. You know, it was a good Saturday. I was kind of recovering from the week I had at work. I had my first week, finished it off, and you know, I started realizing just how much time work, a full time job, can take out of your, you know, your normal schedule. You know, I'm normally doing other things, you know, trying to be creative and whatnot, and I usually have energy to do other stuff. But when I get out of work, it's like, man, I feel drained. I don't really got much time to do anything before I got to go to sleep and get ready for the next day. And especially, I'm thankful that it's not too far away, but with this traffic right now, because I take 83, and there's traffic on 83, and there's traffic on York Road. So no matter what, I'm going to be fucking late getting there and back. So I have to leave early, and it sucks, but, you know, it makes me enjoy my weekends more, and yeah.
Oh, so how, speaking of your first week, how was it? Was it a shock? Did you adjust well, quickly? How was everything?
It was different, man, because this is a different kind of job than what I've had before. I'm doing inside sales. So like I told you, man, I thought I was out, and they pulled me back in. They're trying to get me to sell again. And thankfully, it's not one of those kind of jobs where I'm cold calling anybody, you know, none of that shit. I had enough of that shit, dude. I'm not doing that ever again. And what this entails is that they have orders and stuff, and they need, you know, people to process it. They need administrative work pretty much. And so I make sure everything is handled, the shipping, everything. I communicate with the customers, make sure that we still have them, because this is a billion-dollar company in Japan. And they're starting out their headquarters in the U.S. here in Chicago, you know. So it means something to me. I was like, all right, you know, I've never worked for a foreign company before. I worked for Papa Charlie's. I was an Italian company, but that was more Italian-American versus like straight up Italian. And this one, straight up Japanese, man. So it's like the people there, they frequently speak Japanese to each other. And so it's hard for me to obviously understand. And it's getting me to kind of be motivated to learn the language now and learn the actual writing, which, oh my God, is incredibly difficult to do.
I bet, man. I bet just learning a different language at this age, I bet it's got to be difficult. But something cool, man, I wouldn't mind learning another language. I know Alana, on her spare time, whenever she gets a minute, she tries to read up on Italian. She's been trying to learn Italian, so.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So no, it's pretty cool and gratifying to learn another language, especially at this age.
Yeah, some of the motivation too is, you know how I like anime, so it's like it'd be cool to be able to understand it and not need the subtitles for English. So you know, it's another little motivation for that.
Ah, cool, man. Well, speaking of learning, man, Junior's back in school, man. He started up on Friday, went nice. Back for his first day. Yeah, everything went well, man. He went in, he was really excited. I was kind of worried, you know. I was just like, what kind of junior am I going to get? Am I going to get a junior that's, you know, nervous? You know, is he going to want to, you know, he's like, all right, I got to take a piss. I got to go. I got to take a shit, you know, like stomach bugs kind of thing. You know, just stomach bugs, you know, like he's nervous. And no, man, he was really confident. He was excited. So, yeah, we dropped him off on his first day. I took the day off of work and took him. And, man, everything went well. And when we picked him up, same thing, man. He was really excited. He was telling us all about his day, these new stickers they got, these new boards, these classmates. He's got this student from his previous class and this and that. So he was really excited, telling us about new friends and everything.
Hey, let me ask you this, then. Remember, I'm pretty sure the Freeform listeners want to know from last year. We had this issue. We talked about this about a year ago with the pencils.
Oh, yeah, the community.
So did you go high-end pencils or you went cheap on the pencils?
No. I think I spent like $3 for like a 12-pack or something, and I just threw that in the community box. I'm like, here, share these pencils.
That was the big question is the community pencil thing, because you bought high-end Avenger pencils. And
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think genuinely used one.
Yeah, no, we I actually got a chance to go to this open house. I didn't go to last year's. So already knowing this in mind, we did go kind of, you know, just the normal stuff. We didn't go like super cheap, like dollar store or anything, which nothing wrong with the dollar store stuff. But we just bought regular, you know, crayons and nothing high end. So, yeah, knowing that it was a bunch of community stuff, when we went to the open house, we dropped it all off, dropped them all into the bins. But the good part is the teacher recognized the pencil things. She actually even mentioned it. She's just like, yeah, if you got community pencils, throw them into that bucket. But if you have any specialty pencils, just keep them by your kid. Because we know that sometimes there's problems with other kids taking their specialty pencils. And we don't want to have any problems. So I thought that was kind of good with this teacher, that she does recognize that, you know, some parents do spend a little bit more so their kids can have these special pencils with whatever thing they're into, you know, My Little Pony or, you know, Avengers or Superman or whatever it would be. And, you know, the kid wants to hang on to his pencil. You don't want to throw it into some community. And then the guy next to him, he's like, hey, I got your pencil, asshole. It's like, how you like that?
You think she's a listener?
So, yeah, you know, I was glad to hear that. But there is community everything, community glue, community markers, dry erase boards, and all this other good stuff.
Did you guys ever have that? I can't even recall.
I don't remember having that when I was a kid.
I did ask my girl. She is a teacher. She said it was really common a while back, but a lot of people are kind of getting away from it. But it's still around. It's like she used some name for it. I don't know. It is some type of
communism method.
Yeah, it takes a village or something. But yeah, it is a something. It was common. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could understand it as their kids, and you know, maybe not needing to have individual items for themselves. Like they could all share. And I don't know. Maybe that'll develop something in them that they need further on in life, but. Oh, for sure. I don't remember any of that community stuff. To me, I would take my pencils. I would have it in my desk, and those were my pencils. And everything in my desk was my stuff that I needed. And if I didn't have something, it's like, yeah, take out your glue. You look in your desk, and you're like, shit, I don't got my glue on me. Then you would ask somebody, hey, can I borrow your glue? But there wasn't like a community bucket that you just go over and just grab whatever glue is in there. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I think the only thing they asked us for growing up was Kleenex. I think I remember my dad bitching about it.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah,
Kleenex. That was it.
Yeah. Like snot-nosed kids.
No, for sure. Kleenex. But yeah, had that. Everything went well, so we're real pleased with that. Junior did very well. Something that wasn't too pleasing was I got a flat tire the other day.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
Where yeah. was that by?
It was actually pretty close to home, so it ended up working out. But yeah, I was just driving out. I've never had a flat tire with this car before. It's still the stock tires when I bought it. And I'm going on to 5 years with this car. So, you know.
Really? 5 years already?
Yeah.
Damn,
yeah,
time flies, man.
I know, right? So I'm driving down the street and I'm hanging a left. And, you know, I think I'm kind of vigil to things that are on the floor. You know, if there's like a, you know, some kind of muffler or something, you know, I'm going to spot it and kind of, you know, swerve out of the way. But I didn't see anything, and I'm just driving, and then all of a sudden, I heard a big bang, you know, almost like I had run over something, and it hit my tire. So I was kind of startled. I was like, what the hell was that? I look at my review. I don't see anything, so I'm just like, what was that? What the hell did I run over? And I ask Alana, I'm like, did you see anything? And she's just like, nah. It almost sounded like somebody threw something towards the car. So then my thought started going, did somebody on the side throw something? It hit my side quarter panel, and that's the sound that I heard. And then Alana's like, you should pull over and check it out. So I was thinking twice. I'm like, it was the machismo in me. It's like, I don't need to pull over, man.
You're like, I don't need to listen to my wife, dad, or you're maybe, like, I don't need to pull over.
Maybe which one, maybe some of both, yeah. But then I'm just like, you know what? Alana's right. Let me pull over. Let me check it out. That,
you know, this is being recorded, right?
So I pull over into like a parkway there on the side, and I go look, and I hear this really loud hissing sound. And I'm just like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, hey, Alana, can you turn off the car? And I'm still hearing it. And I'm like, hey, Alana, turn off the car. She's like, I did. And I'm like, holy shit, what the hell is this hissing sound? And my tire's still at this time. It looks normal. And I just keep hearing the hissing. And I'm just like, something's wrong. I'm like, I think the tire's leaking air. So I get back into the car, and now I'm like running through the scenario in my head. Do I change the tire here? Do I try to drive back home? And then I make the decision, let's go back home. So I start driving back home. And right before I turn that last corner on my street, I could feel that my tire was just about on the rim now. All the air had left out, but made it into my driveway, changed the tire, borrowed my wife's grandmother's truck, and took it to the porno shop, tire shop.
Famous porno tire shop.
Yeah, man, got the tire patched up. He said that it was probably a nail, that it was right on the thread, so I probably ran over something, some kind of rock or nail or something. So they patched it up, and yeah, man, I was off on my way. Got to teach Junior a little bit about changing tire, because I've noticed that these generation kids, they don't know how to change a tire anymore. So I had Junior out there just keeping an eye on me, just like, yeah, buddy, this is that. You want to try to do this, you want to try to do that. Even though he is kind of young, he'll probably forget it, but I wanted him to start, you know, being there for stuff like that, because I don't want to be totally useless when he's older.
Did you revert to our classic Mexican dad lines? Like,
acánsame esto.
Agarra esto. Ponte listo. And then, what was going on? Or you were like, you were showing him, or you weren't just yelling at him?
No, I think he's a little young. Like, look at this. He's 7 years old, so... So for the most part, I was just explaining things to him. He wasn't doing anything. He didn't want to use the tire iron to kind of spin it, the nuts.
Imagine your dad there.
Oh, it would have been totally different.
It would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been totally different.
Yeah. What are you going to do when I die? Who's going to change the tire for you, huh?
But yeah, no, everything went on pretty uneventful other than getting the tire blown out. But yeah, got it changed, my first patch. Now Alana's all freaked out. She's like, oh, my God, we got to buy new tires. This one already got a patch in it.
Just in the winter, you got to keep an eye out for that leak.
Yeah, I told her, I'm like, everything's fine. And to be honest, that front one, I mean, like I said, I've been running on it for 5 years, so it's about due for a change. And I've been noticing the tread on it is getting kind of low. So I had in mind to, at the very least, buy two new tires for my front, because my back ones are still half decent. If not, if I can get a good deal, just get all four and just replace them all. But yeah, probably new tires before the winter sets in. The only other thing that I was up to, man, that I noticed that was kind of disgusting was I was at Steak and Shake the other day. And
disgusting.
Well, the disgusting part was I noticed two groups of people like overeating big time, man, where these people were buying $2 to $3 of those $4 meals and eating them, man. And I'm talking about a piece. So it was these two couples. There was two guys, and then on the other one there was a guy and a girl, and they each bought like two platters. In the two guys' case, they bought three platters each, and one of the guys bought some shit to go. Like, he had a to go bag. He's like, yeah, here's your to go order, and then here's your spaghetti. He ordered like a cheeseburger, and then he ordered like a chili or something.
He kept all the fries.
And fries on all of them. So they were like three full plated meals.
Full servings.
Yep.
Did they look like they regularly do this?
Oh, they did look like they're on the heavyweight division. So they look like they're good eaters. But man, I was just like, man, this is kind of disgusting. And
why are you judging these people, Danny? Why are you hating on them because they're eating good?
I tried not to, man, but my food hadn't come yet, and I was kind of hungry. And I'm like,
look
at these assholes, man, hogging up all the good food here, man. Shit, where are we going to get our plates?
Yeah, dude, like, one, you know, it's a good serving. Two, like, all right, man, you want to enjoy it. But once you go over three, that's a lot of food, dude, for one sitting, you know?
It is a lot, man. To me, two plates, I mean, you got to be starving. Like, man, I haven't eaten all day. I didn't eat breakfast. I didn't eat lunch. This is my dinner. Like, you know, I want chicken fingers and I want a burger all at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Kind of understandable. Probably still take some home with you because you probably won't be able to finish it. These two guys, man, they dogged it out and they finished it all. And I was kind of sick. I was just like, bro, man, that's a lot of food, man. Like, how can you eat that much processed food? I mean, this is Steak and Shake. I don't make any kind of, you know, like, it's super healthy food or anything. It's got to be processed to the
burgers,
max, man.
I mean, yeah. Burgers in general are not good for you. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I like a good Steak and Shake. The $4 lunches are sweet, but man, that when you get three of those things with fries. I mean, the burgers are already greasy as hell. So I mean, that's not a good diet right there.
Nah, for sure, man.
Yeah, man. When people binge drink or binge eat, that's pretty disgusting. It's pretty bad.
No, yeah, yeah, exactly. And Alana kind of, you know, kind of sneered at me too, like, hey, you know, why you hating on these guys? And I'm like, well, it's kind of like you just mentioned, well, like binge drinking. When you see a drunk and you're like, well, you know, I like drinking, so, you know, let's go out and have a drink or two. But once you get to that point where now you're overdoing it, you know, now you're the asshole to hate on. Like, you know, like, why is this guy drinking so much? Why did he go over the limit of what's, you know, somewhat within the norm? And I see the same way that eating, you know, just order a plate or two, man, or order a plate and an extra side of guac or whatever it is that you want extra, you know, some, you know, some poppers or some onion rings. Like, order a nice little side and then that's it, you know, you have your meal plus a little side because you're really hungry. But man, to order three whole complete servings of plates, this is like, nah, man, that's a little much. And
I think that's the hate, Danny, just hating on motherfuckers because they eating good. That's what I'm hearing here.
Well, the other funny part is that you could tell there were gamers. They were talking about Wizard World because Wizard World was just here this weekend. It ends
today, yeah.
And then they were talking about gaming. They were talking about like No Man's Skies. They were talking about like PC gaming.
Yo, people, that's a core audience right there, man.
They're like, I got my rig going, man. I got my computer, my drivers, and my this and my that. And I'm just like, holy shit. And I told Alana because they were kind of like around my age. I told Alana, I'm like, I wonder if this would have been me if I didn't get married. This would be me sitting next to one of my loser friends and, you know, talking about gaming and eating three plates. I was just like, holy shit.
Dude, it's, I don't want to judge people, but you see some people when you go to eat, when I want my girl, I'm like, man, thank God I have a girlfriend. Because you see some of these people and it's just like, damn. Like, well, obviously they're not in any type of relationship besides that food and whatever they're into. And it could be kind of, you could get sucked up into that because, you know, but, you know, humans need at least some type of, I always say you got to be in some type of relationship. The relationship could be many different things. Preferably it's with another person, but you could have like messed up relationships with food, drinking, gaming, collecting, and it turns into some people into an obsession. But you got to be in some form of relationship because, yeah, it's just you see some of these people and you're like, that is not healthy. Even relationship with humans is some of them are not healthy. But it is. It's just when it comes to food, yeah, and gaming and collecting and like all that fanboy stuff, it can get pretty. You see some nasty people, man, like they need help. And I'm not being a dick. I'm just saying like they need something, man. They need help.
No, yeah, I'm not hating on these guys for being single either. Or maybe they were in relationships and they were just two guys, you know, friends
it's
hanging out
weekend.
Or whatever.
It's their weekend. It's Wizard World weekend and they're going to
out. Who knows? Maybe they have some hot-ass girls.
I
really don't know.
People look forward to all that shit, Noel.
Yeah.
That's their weekend to do whatever the hell they got to do from their normal day-to-day life.
No, for sure. So I don't know what these guys' things are. But to me, with the way they were eating, they don't have any concept of to health. And, you know, I was in Steak and Shake, too. So, you know, it wasn't like I was trying to eat all healthy. I wasn't eating a salad or any of that shit either. But, you know, everything with reason, man. It's like, you know, get your sandwich, eat your thing, and then get the hell out of there, you know. I'm not going to eat there every day. I'm not going to have their greasy as shit. You know, just something normal.
I was hoping you were going to say, like, damn, man, what you eating over there? Yeah, give me what they're getting. Bring that over here, too. And then Alana be like, what the hell you doing? And she'd be like, yeah, you're right. Nah, I don't want shit.
I think what it is like it stands out as being out of the norm, like atypical, you know, it's not something that you normally see the average person doing. And anytime it's like it involves some kind of I consider it like a deadly sin, like gluttony, like that's one of the seven deadly sins. Right. So like when someone's right. a glutton, like you, it kind of stands out and you kind of maybe you don't want to like hate on them, but you kind of have that like judgment where it's like, man, that's not exactly the best way to live a life. Not that there's one right way, but that definitely doesn't seem like a good way to go about living.
No, for sure, man. Something else that is becoming too much of the norm is these article that we're going to get into is people who are too sensitive and become very offended with things. You know, I don't know, man. To me, when I read articles like this, it kind of, It pisses me off that our generation is getting weak. But at the same time, I think as to like my parents' generation, did they look at us and go like, man, these weak people are going to take over the world, you know, and do the, does the generation before my parents see their generation as the same way? So it's just something that we see it, but, you know, it might not be in its entirety, you know, that it's a weaker generation. But the article goes into that about how these people are too hysterical, too offended. They get really worked up. They need safe zones. They need, you know, areas where they can feel safe and that, you know, nobody's going to say anything too harsh. And, man, I don't know, man. I don't know the world that's going to be coming for my son and for the future, man. It's just, I don't know, man.
It's just the rise. I think with the millennials, and like, yeah, we sounding old. We're old Gen Xers here. And we had our own issues growing up. We were a little bit more, I want to say negative. We kind of knew shit was fucked up, and we kind of accepted it. And we tried to change a couple things, but the millennials, this generation, they get offended by everything. They're very diverse, but they get offended. Everything is messed up, and they do... they do their own thing with when pertaining to... with the social networks thing, with the new Trump trolling now is like becoming this new, they call it the generation of trolling because they're the most, they don't like being offended, but damn, they like shitting on people when it's not their values. And that there's no, they're not offending anyone. They're just saying, you know, that's not right to them, this generation. But also they want you to be very accepting to shit that they do. And they don't want you to judge them when it's something out of their criteria of what they consider normal. I mean, we always talk about that word here being normal. They don't like being judged, but then they like to judge people, especially on the internet, because it's a little bit in there. They won't confront you face to face with this, you know, what we consider normal, you know, people on the street, but on the internet, dialogue. They'll fucking shit on you and they'll be confrontational on the internet.
Oh, for sure. And by the way, Andy, I love that thing you were doing with your hands, man. You look like a Steve Jobs, like doing Steve a presentation. Jobs.
Yeah, because when it comes to the more stuff I hear about millennials, it's not upsetting. It's just this group right here is they're gonna be the future because they're bigger than the baby boomers. You understand that? Like baby boomers, remember they dominated everything after World War II. This generation is bigger than them. And right now, the way things are going, especially with the internet, and they already have this special, they have a different way of looking at the world. And they were, I don't know how they would handle adversity once they completely run in this fucking country. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do because this generation is... something completely different than I think this country has ever seen.
Yeah, one of the funny things on here, or at least what I saw, it's kind of funny, is that the Nation Union of the students, they banned clamping at their school because it might trigger trauma in some of the students. So if you're, you know, pleased with something or you want to clap, you have to use your jazz hands, and that jazz hands is kind of like where you just shake your palm around.
You bring this article, let's say 10 years, 15 years ago, like they want to ban clapping. They're going to look at it like you're fucking nuts, but this is like a reality. Like they want to ban words like don't put man or woman. Like that whole issue with like with sex, with like I'm not a man, a woman, I'm a person. Like what the fuck is like that much of a big of a deal where you guys want to change stuff about it? Like I don't get it. It just it's weird. And that's all because of this generation right here.
It's really confusing things, like when they start trying to make those kind of changes. It makes you wonder, like, what brought all that about?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What made them feel like this way? What the hell is going on? Is it the GMOs, maybe that shit?
it's just this generation. They've done a lot of...
Snowflake, right?
Yeah. They've done a lot of things, especially with the internet, with Facebook and Twitter. And, like, yes, you know, think about it. You tweet, you put something out, it's read by millions. It could be read by millions of people. But also, they want to make some, like, to me, the ridiculous changes about words. They have an issue with words. Like, you know, like the clapping and the not man, woman, identifying as this and that. They just want to be whatever they want to be, and they don't want nobody to judge them. And you got to be understanding of that. Even though they don't like being, when something's wrong, like I've always said this here, if it's wrong, it's wrong. No matter what it is, it's you're knowing it's wrong. And these people, they don't want to be told that's wrong. They get super pissed off. They don't want no one judging them or telling them anything. They just want to do what makes them happy.
You know, I kind of think it's more like this free spirit, you know, because to me, I don't know about everybody else, but I like having a schedule. I like having a routine. No,
these people don't.
I like having, I don't get bored of stuff like that. I don't get bored of going to work Monday through Friday, coming home, picking up my wife, picking up Junior, doing homework, doing this, doing laundry, and just having a routine to my week. It doesn't bother me, but I know it does bother a lot of people. And they want to be like this free spirit, kind of just moving through. And I think maybe that's a part of it, that these people, and, you know, to each their own, man.
These people.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say that, because I don't want people to get pissed off that I'm labeling them as these people, because, you know, it's just a group of generation. And I think they're overly sensitive because they don't want to be labeled. They don't want to have things identified for them. They just want to be free spirits moving through the world.
They want unlimited options in a world where, you know, they don't want to hear that they never have options. Like Gabe from Intellectual Nonsense, do you see that video he posted about you should never own a home now? It's like, you know, it's a myth that it builds wealth and, you know, don't get a 30-year mortgage. If you own something, just rent it out. Don't ever live there. Hey, where you want to live, just rent it, because nobody stays at a job for, you know, 10, 5, 10, 15 years. No one does that no more, because people just jump on board. You know, us growing up, you should stay at your job as long as you can. And slowly that changed, because companies, they don't want no really staying there no more. Them days are gone. I agree with you. But don't buy a home. Don't be like forced to stay there, because if you could own rent, you could have options, go wherever you want. And what you do own, it says own what you rent. Rent and whatever you own, rent it out. Don't buy anything to live there, because it goes, that's a myth. This guy's video, and a lot of people are like, yeah, this makes sense to me. I'm not buying homes, because there's also an article I read that home ownership is down, that people aren't buying homes. Everybody's renting now because they're scared. I think a lot of it's this generation that came up. They grew up through with the parents struggling, paying homes and the foreclosures, you know, all that. That's about 8-9 years ago. They saw that when a lot of these people were in high school, and they're like, I'm not going to go through this shit. I'm going to just rent, and whenever I get a new job, I'm leaving. It's just options that they want.
I think part of the problem, too, is this new generation, not only are they like overly sensitive, but it seems like they want everything catered to them. Like they want like a perfect, ideal life where everything is done for them, where the government takes care of this and that, and there's these rules in place so that you're never offended, and everything is happy-go-lucky. But that's not the world we live in, man. That's not the world that exists, and that I don't want to say never will be, but I don't see that happening in this generation. I know growing up, and when I went to school, there were a lot of people that would make offensive remarks towards me, right? But I wasn't the kind of person that was overly sensitive and just start complaining and bitching to every person that would be able to hear me. I kept that to myself because I know my value. I know what I'm worth. So whatever they said, I just shrug it off. Whereas these people, they take it too much to heart. Like they put value in other people's opinions when the only opinion that really matters is the one they have of themselves. And we were actually talking about the education system a while back, and I was watching this video with Michio Kaku, who he's like an astrophysicist. He does a lot of discussions of science, and he's talking about U.S. having like one of the worst education systems in the world.
Yeah, we fell behind a little bit.
That the average person has the same kind of education that a third world country would have now. And I think a lot of that has to do with this kind of generation, that they want everything automated and done for them. They want these iPads and all these things and Twitters and shit. And nobody knows how anything works, though. Like, nobody's has that intellect enough to understand and comprehend how to be able to make these things like function. That the majority of people that invent these things, like 50% of like the geniuses that in this country, are foreign born. And yes, this country is founded by immigrants, so of course they're going to be foreign-born and they're going to come here. But ultimately, the people that I guess are the new Native Americans, like people that are born here and grow up with this education system, don't have that that opportunity to like really learn and really be able to invent and be innovative. They just kind of go along with what's already in place. And it's a shame, dude. I see what you're talking about too with the housing market, and what that brings to mind to me is that how people are so complacent. Like back in the day, they wanted you to work, you know, your whole life at that job, have 401k and this and that. Why? Because everything is handled for you. 401k, somebody else handles your money. Somebody else does it. When you put your money in a bank and you put in a savings account, somebody else handles your money. Somebody else takes care of it for you. Are you really getting back what you could really make? Or if you were to take your own initiative, learn how to invest your money, learn how to do the stock market, learn how to do different things, maybe start your own business, take the reins of your future in your own hands, you know, take control, maybe things would be a little bit different. But this generation, I see it as being more automated. They just let things go in somebody else's control.
It's like Wall-E, the movie, man, where the guys don't know how to work anything.
And the robots do everything.
And the robots do everything for them. And so they get fat, complacent, and stupid.
That's probably a subliminal message for that.
Yeah, you never know.
Again, I'm not shitting on them. It's just you could see it's a changing of a guard, and they do a lot of stuff on the internet. And you know, in retrospect, internet wise, they've done a lot of things, made a lot of shit easier. Like, you know, it's a changing of the guard. Everybody sees it. We're kind of old, so we're fighting it. You know, and we'll see where it goes, man. But, you know, one of the biggest issues I have had with them is they don't like to be judged. When shit's wrong, it's wrong, man. You got to be called out on it. You can't just tweet about it and forget about it. You know, we all got to listen. You got to hear it, because just how shit works. You can't be expecting not to hear shit from no one when you're doing something bad, because, you know, someone needs to let you know.
For sure, man.
And don't take it too much to heart, man. Like, when you were talking about that bald guy, I wasn't offended. I was like, hey, I know a lot of bald people that get a lot of pussy,
right,
man.
That's why, man. I give him an A for effort, man. He was trying to get his freak on, but after the couple of beers, but I'm just like, damn, man, I don't know how you got that date so automatic. I'm thinking, did he use Tinder, Match, Craigslist? Like, I don't know. It's even the way we date now for these kids is different. They don't even go... like, walk up to a bar, they're like, everything's on the internet. Like, think about that. Like, you know, with all the apps we have now, hell, even when you get a ride now, they got an app for that, Uber and Lyft. Like, these kids created all that shit. Like, they don't want to talk to nobody. They want it now and on their phone.
The one good thing they created, Andy, was the McDonald's app. No more coupons. You just pull up your app.
They scan that shit.
You just scan it, boom, and you
sometimes
get your...
Sometimes, what happens
get that
when
McDouble for
that
free.
Thing can't scan it, the kid, they're like, I don't know what to do, man. Help me. But we know what we got to do. We got to get out of here. So we're going to thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Freeform Network. Also, send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our friends at 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense. See Gabe's video up there we talked about. Check out Enthusiast Project. And don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you will find all our links, where you can find all our shows on all the different apps that these millennials created. Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Overcast, Spreaker, Google Play. Try that one out. I don't know. Are we on there then? I don't even know.
Yeah, we're on Google Play. But you need to have a Google account. If you don't have a Google account, you don't have access to Google
Play.
Damn,
freaking Skynet. Subscribe and hit that like button on Facebook. Come on, guys. We get those numbers up. We need like 1 million views so we can start getting paid on that.
Damn right.
A million likes, and then we can make like 10 bucks off of that. So again, this is Freeform Radio. This is
Bandana Podcasting Daniel.
I think he's on my radio left.
I don't know what nickname to have, Noel.
Yeah, he's TV right? I don't know. But this is Andy. You guys have a good week. We want to thank you for listening. And don't forget to check us out next week.
That was cool, Dad.